Shalom lachem.
Hello, thank you for joining us. We're here, the New Life series, educational series with Dr. Michael Lyman. Hello, Dr. Lyman. Hello, Nitza Mazuz. Hello. Here we're trying to learn from Rav Lyman how to build the Israeli society in a better way, in a newer way that will bring light into our lives as individuals, as families, and society. How to create here in life, in Israel, new life. Today we want to speak about one of the greatest symbols that we have as Israeli society, the Book of Books, Nitza Mazuz, the Book of Books. Take us into this magic and we'll flow with you. The Book of Books, the Bible, is actually maybe the fanciest creation that humanity has ever known. It's always been a source of inspiration, like a well that influences, that inspires people to create, to write, to sing, to play, to act. There's a lot of depth and thought. It's influenced not only the Jewish people, but the whole world. It's incredible to see how much, on the one hand, it's ancient, and on the other hand, how relevant it is for our time. Israeli society, the Jewish people, appreciate and respect this book. It always awakens feelings. And today we wanted to speak with you about it and see your angle about this book, to understand actually why this book awakens so many feelings in us. Well, what's in it? First of all, truly, the wonder of how this book has influenced all of society. If we're looking at it objectively, because until the 20th century, you could say that all of humanity's creations were around it. Sculpture, music, artists, it was all around that. The culture, the laws, everything was taken from there. It's a book that gave the foundation for all of civilization, human civilization, and everything that happened to us throughout thousands of years of our development. This book is processed for different religions in all kinds of different versions, but at the same time, it's all the same foundation. It's truly a special book, and truly, on the one hand, it's very interesting that we have no other book in which the hero is God. That's what's special, first of all. He's talking, he does, he warns, he punishes. It's all about him. It's all him. And even though they're talking about him in such a way that it's as if he's wandering around people and he's among us and he's bringing his divinity down to us, it catches on. It's attractive. And I think that's where his power is. That's where the power of this book is. That also in the Torah, the prophets, and the Ketuvim, all the parts, it's all talking about how we relate to the upper one, how, to God. A person inside his society, from within the social, from relations between people, how relations between people belong to relations between him and all of society, all of the nation, to the upper force. The book is actually speaking of this, how the people have to be organized according to calling the upper force to them, and how they attempt more or less, successfully or less so, in implementing it and to fund it sort of with your efforts. And in accordance with that, their behavior, God with the people and the people with God. And to the extent that they're close or far, the book is talking about the governance and the supervision of the upper one on the people, and is opening this law of the connection between the people and the upper force, and is actually meant to teach us, teach people in what manner they can be close to the upper force, to invite it, to get closer to it, or it gets closer to them. And in accordance with that, to benefit from special good life, etc. Success, human success, individual success. The book talks a lot about the laws that go right down to the last detail, what a person's thinking, how he behaves with himself, how he behaves in the family, the members of the family, how he behaves with the four levels, inanimate, animate, vegetative, human, how he interacts with his environment, how he organizes his environment, how he divides the environment into circles, and how they are all advancing to a connection that is deeper so that God is among them. It's attractive. It's teaching. And in accordance with that, we can know how we build ourselves, also in the family and society and in the country, how we arrange our law system, judgment system, our personal lives, right up to the smallest details. There's actually no area where a person has to guess if it's worth it for me to do like this or like that. The book includes a person's entire life. It doesn't matter where he is and at what times or in what form. This book is always for him an instruction, and that's why it's called Torah. The only problem is, do people read the book correctly? Do they understand it correctly? Because throughout history, wise ones have risen that began to see only the laws of trial, of judgment, or the laws of nature. They began to use this book in all different kinds of forms as blessings, that if you want to be successful, then it says in the book what to do. Love thy neighbor as thyself, for example, which is the biggest law of the Bible. That's the law, but they started taking all kinds of blessings out of it. If I do this, and actually in an egoistic way, which is the opposite, this form, than what the book is demanding from us. And in that way, we advanced. It depends how you call the book. There's many ways to look at this book. It's been analyzed in many ways. There's people that know it in depth. There's people that philosophize about it. It talks about going into the field, but it's not just the superficial business, but also we need to go into the depth of things that is in the written. It depends on the person who's reading it, what he's reading from the book, what level of depth he's reaching, in what form it awakens him, what depth of thought and desire he reacts to the book. So the book is not just a book with some signs. With the dots and the symbols that are printed on the card or the page, but rather, I would say it's like a program that, according to that, a person doesn't just learn with his external mind. He has to format himself, program himself, to arrange within him the characteristics, desires, thoughts that are will all be in accordance with the book. Just like we put a program into a computer, and the computer had some potential to be organized in all its various options and abilities. And when you put the program in, the program begins to organize the connection between all the things in it, how to work. That is actually the essence of the book, to program a person, to plan a person, to arrange a person in his desires and thoughts, so that a person will then will receive his internalness, just like the book. Then the book goes inside him. That's called learning Torah. It's actually to arrange himself according to what is in that entire depth of this program. And then a person who is planned, arranged according to the book, he will then gradually know to program himself internally. He'll begin to see the world in a deeper manner. He'll begin to see the forces operating behind reality, our standard reality that we view with our five senses, our bodily senses, simple senses that are also given to animals, actually. But rather, he begins to see, he begins to read nature in depth. And then all of nature becomes for him the book. In other words, he goes into reality. Just like there's those stereo three-dimensional pictures where they look like some wallpaper that have nothing on them except lines. But if you study them, if you look at it in depth, you begin to go in and see three-dimensional forms. And then that's how I see the world. I see the forces behind what appears to me as superficial and the forces operating everything, and I see myself there behind that picture that I go into. And then I really see another world. And then I get into the internalness of the world. And this is how we see what the Torah is. That it's not just for emotional excitement or intelligent, superficially as usual, but rather to open a person to the perception of reality. But still, there's a lot about the emotional excitement, but then you really begin to appreciate it, especially because then I see that apart from this book, actually, I don't need anything. Because even though I processed this book inside of me, I brought it into myself. I know the world, I read the world correctly, and I connect to it in the correct manner. And then for me, the entire world is like the book that I'm learning nature. When we look at the book and its influence throughout history, how it influenced human awareness and its values, its morals, how, from your perspective, do you see this influence on human awareness? I see in that
a rotten
development that humanity must get through, so that at the end of the day they'll understand that if they understand this book superficially, then it brings them to the incorrect development. But there's no choice. This is how we have to develop. Just like we see that same people, the people of Israel in the desert, that each time that they discover themselves doing something wrong, then only afterwards they can correct it and receive good. Then they again discover something wrong, and then they correct it, and then they reach good. The same goes for all of humanity. We need to discover our entire culture, our whole way of life that's built on top of the superficialness of Torah, and that's what we've arrived at actually today, the situation throughout history. Humanity took everything that we have in humanity, developed from there actually, through religions, through forms of culture, education, the seven-day week. We organized our world around holidays, all kinds of traditions that we have in the world that have to develop in this manner. We developed in a superficial manner, and at the end of the day we'll reach a state that we'll discover that we need to go into the depth of the book. And this we still need to arrive at. Then we'll really be able to draw from there, from that well, live water. So if I understand what you're saying, superficialness, there's values that talk about love of others, equality, justice, mutual responsibility. So even though we as a society are trying to use these values, and we've even placed these values as something to aspire to, but we don't truly at the moment have the ability to implement them actually. And that's actually the gap that you're speaking about superficially. The fact that I'm using those words, it still doesn't mean that I'm capable actually, truly, of implementing those values. We're lying to ourselves. We pretend that we're good to others and we want to reach it, but truly it has nothing to do with the book itself, because the laws that are written in the book are talking about a much more serious type of existence and other existence than we're talking about with one another. We need to rise above our ego. We have to merge with one another. It's a condition for reading the Torah to be as one man with one heart, to strive for that. If we don't organize society or even a group of people that want to truly understand this book, this group has to first of all be like at the state of Mount Sinai. It says that every day we have the state of giving the Torah. You can get it any day, but to know how to receive the Torah, you have to be in a certain society that everyone agrees, like they were at Mount Sinai, to be at one man with one heart. All of Israel are friends. Love thy neighbor as thyself is a general law of this society, that we have to be in mutual guarantee. And then, if we agree to advance and to be blessed in these laws that will be permeate between us, then we can begin studying what the Torah is. And then the Torah becomes for us the light that reforms us. There's an upper force that influences us and raises us to come into this degree, this dimension where we feel the forces working behind our lives that are called altogether God, how he manages us, how we approach him, how we get closer to him, and how he influences us. Then we begin to see that, oh, we're in the story. And this story is actually happening with us. And word by word, from sentence to sentence, it's truly happening with us. And we're advancing from Bereshit and right up to Israel, the last word in the Torah. But it's only on the condition that we can carry it out in a society that accepts these conditions, just like it says in the Torah itself. What are the conditions? When you spoke of society and a group of people, then of course we're looking at ourselves as the Jewish people, and we're also called the people of the book. It's interesting that we're called the nation of the book and not the book of the nation. That's what they also call us. And when you look in the world, there were entire empires and cultures that took the people by force, and some took the world by culture, like Rome and Greece, and us, our tiny little people, we brought one book to the world, but it's actually the it's so significant and so great. What's really the special connection between this book of books and the nation that brought it? The people of the book is a nation, is a group, some big chamula, a big group of people, like a herd, that understood that they had no choice. They worked on unity, and they reached a necessity to connect on the one hand, and on the other hand, they felt that it's impossible to connect. It's not realistic. It's like today, we're advancing towards this state, where on the one hand the ego is eating us up and we want to get rid of it, we want to rise above it, but on the other hand, where can we escape to from it? It's filling us, it's controlling us from all sides, at all levels. What can we do? On the one hand, we truly want to get out of the ego and connect with one another. And on the other hand, it's impossible. That's the best state. Because these two opposite forces, this is the true state that we need for the third force. This is the godly force. And then we understand that here we're not able to do anything. We have to have this third force appear in us. And then this entire book is for the light to come and to be among us and connect us. Because we have no ability in ourselves. So the nation of the book is a group of people that takes upon itself implementing that entire program that's in the book to bring it themselves to be truly as one man with one heart, to truly be for the love of others in a perfect manner, that they begin to understand that without the upper force, they cannot even do one tiny step. When they understand it and demand the upper force, it's called raising man. Then they demand it. They want to receive it. They're prepared to receive it. And then from that moment on, it's called receiving Torah. And then they become the nation of the book. Meaning to be a nation. The birth of the nation. And nation according to the book. That's called the nation of the book. Sometimes it seems it's as if the book chose us and we didn't choose the book. How does it work? The book chose us. You mean that same program? The book wasn't there. It was written from day to day, from implementing their connection with the upper force to the extent that they succeeded or not. It was all written as some inner spiritual advancement. It looks to us like history, 40 years in the desert, and geography, what they did. What's special here? Here we actually implemented on ourselves the love connection. Adam Kadmon, and that in each part we have the special light that fills us, the connection between us, to the extent that we try to be connected between us, then at first it's Or Nefesh, the small light, and then it connects to Or Ruach, and that's how we rise up to a state that's called the end of correction, where we truly connect as one heart, as one man, as a human, as one human, the image of one human that is similar to the Creator. So the creature altogether, he becomes like God, the person, and that's why he's called man, Adam, in Hebrew. So, therefore, this book has to be a live book that lives in us. It's the program of connecting between us. Many times it's interesting to see that we, as the Israeli society, at some place, as much as we appreciate this book, in many cases we put it on the shelf, we don't really open it. We place importance in it, but we don't see it as something to implement on a daily basis. That's the problem. It's holy, it's fancy, but it's like it's not connected to my everyday life. That's true. It's very hard to connect it to something that we need to implement every day. And the interesting thing is that actually when we look at the world, from the nation of the book, and from their point of view, it's something that you can't separate. It's like a package. You're the nation, and it goes hand in hand with the book. We put it on the shelf. We forgot about it a bit. Maybe not a little, maybe a lot. And on the other hand, the nations of the world don't make the separation. From their point of view, the nations of the world, it's one and the same. Yes and no. We truly reached in our rotten manner to a state where they don't really attribute us to this book. They want to see it together. But unfortunately, we are not like that, and they are also starting to see it in that manner. In their eyes, we're not that same Jewish people that once would implement the Torah. and belong to it, and that book was that network of forces and relations that we used to carry out between us. Today we're not like that, and we have an opportunity and ability to carry it out now as the people of Israel, in Israel, with our book. And we are not doing that. And therefore, in the eyes of the nations of the world, we are completely, they're not looking at us well. We have nothing to be proud of. And this is how they see us. Even though deep inside them, they have an expectation that we will truly go down to our place and do what we have to do. I wanted to ask, you say that the world is looking at us that we're actually already not those same Jews that used to implement the Torah. Now we know that, I see it also in many places, of course, that's clear. We also know that we as Jews, we're people with lots of opinions, we all have opinions, we all have commentary, we all have our own perceptions, commentary on the Torah, interpretations, and the angle that we want to relate to this book from now is not in an abstract manner, but as some cultural anchor through which we can build our society here in Israel today, according to this instruction from God, love thy neighbor as thyself. There's no question about that. The question is, how do you define, and if we take two Jews, they'll have three different definitions. How, in what in your eyes is it called to be, to carry out the Torah? One will say to carry out the Torah is X, and another Jew will say, no, carrying out the Torah is Y. And each one has this different perception of what it calls to carry out the Torah. Now, I want to zoom out for a second from these arguments between us. Like I said, if there's two Jews, there's three opinions. So I want to connect to the place where you look from the outside. The world is looking at us from the nation of the book, and you look at us as less. We're not so great. We're not implementing this vision that you're saying is like the peak of human culture. You're saying this book includes in it the definition how a person inside a society connects to the general force of nature, to God. That's powerful. Now, how do we implement it? What does it mean to implement it? If everyone brings their own interpretation, what does it mean in your eyes? In my eyes, implementing is, hang on, I just want to add something. I'm also asking at the most practical level, not philosophical with everyone with their fantasies and imaginary stuff. What society do we have to build in Israel that the world will look at it and say, wow, that's the society that is truly, has truly gone back to being the original, the nation of the book. It's truly that nation. You know what I mean? At that level, at that social level, what is it called to truly implement and represent the book loyally? That is a group of people that's not a nation yet, that only becomes, that wants to become a nation. One more second, so I don't get mixed up. Maybe we'll put it in terms of present and future. What would it call for your success? What process do we have to start practically in our society today that if we go with it and we consolidate it and understand it and shape it, we'll truly be worthy of again receiving that definition, nation of the book? Not like you said that they're not relating to us like that so much now. How will we be worthy of that definition again? How do we have to look? We have to be the nation of Israel. It's very simple. According to the interpretation of the words. And the nation of Israel, like it says in the receiving the Torah, you became today a nation in what? In the fact that you are taking upon yourselves the obligation to be as one man with one heart, to reach the law, love thy neighbor as thyself, to be connected between you in total mutual guarantee, if you advance towards that, and only that, without anything, you don't need anything else apart from that. Everything else will be as a result of that effort to build such a society. And then you will need help, divine help, and then it will come between you more and more in accordance with how much you demand that He will connect you, that will bring you all to be as one, that we will all feel everyone as one man with one heart, in one thought, in equality, one helping the other, his fellow man, etc. Don't do unto others as you wouldn't want him to do to you. From the love of creatures, you'll reach love of the Creator, the love of God. All these things that you want to carry out in the connection between people, despite each and every person individually being an egoist, these connections between them can only be in an altruistic manner. What do you mean altruistic? That in giving to one another, each one wants to connect to the other and fill the desires of his fellow man. Each one wants to connect to the other in a good manner. In a good manner, in a relation of love. Understanding that everyone's an egoist and that we need to rise above our ego, above hatred, above Har Sinai, the Mount Sinai. Above our escalating hatred, we need to each time create this network of connection. This whole network is called Torah. Why? Because of mutual love, mutual bestowal, that's the law of the Torah. And in that, inside this network, we discover the force permeating in it, which is called God. The network of connection between us, yes. If we connect with one another in an equal, friendly manner, as brothers, as lovers, and loved ones. I just want to understand the connection. Oren asked, what kind of society do we need to build here so that we'll be able again to be worthy of being called the nation of the book? How is this social process that we're going through, how is it connected to the book? We're writing the book between us. Let's start. Let's start relating to one another in this manner, and suddenly we'll look inside the book and we'll see, look, Moshe with his group went through the same thing, and now we're going through this truly, word by word. We will feel what all these words are. What all of a sudden the golden calf? What are the spies about? This spy and that spy will suddenly discover all these things. Wars with all kinds of nations, Amalek. We're advancing to Jericho, etc., etc. Suddenly we'll discover our entire process that we're going through that is precisely according to the book. Because this book is a program. This is a program that according to that we connect, we format the connection between us. And through this attribute, we discover the force of this new spiritual life that's called the upper light or the Creator God. That's the upper nature. Elohim in Gematria is nature. That's what's governing us. And then we feel that we're in connection with Him, that we're living in it. We feel that we ourselves are creating it. I have another question from another angle that's also connected to the nation of the book. If we look at our history as the nation of the book, it doesn't matter where we were, and it's something that's special to this nation only. From a small age, we taught kids to read or write. Why? In order for them to be able to read the book, to learn the book. How do you see the education and the importance of learning, reading, and writing, not for nothing abstractly, but for the child, for this young person, to be able to connect to the Book of Books? And what kind of insight can you take from here to the education that we need to provide to Israeli society? Look, we can't differentiate ourselves and isolate ourselves from humanity. There were times when only this was the only book on the shelf, on the table. There weren't any other books. That was it. Therefore, they read it and they knew it off by heart. I remember my son when he learned in some place in Jerusalem, in some special place. They learned it off by heart. It was simple. They learned it off by heart. The Bible they had to know off by heart. You say to him two words, he has to continue to the end of the book. The Yemenite also that came from the old days, they didn't have books. Whoever had a physical book, a book was a rare thing. They had to know everything off by heart. You say a sentence, they said everything. That was the standard. It wasn't something rare, the people that come. Now it's not like that. Not just Torah, it's the Tanakh, the Bible, all the books. That's how it was once. That was the correct way of learning because it's the first connection. Today we have it on our iPhone, we have it on the internet, in the library. But our memory has gotten smaller. That's what I'm asking about, not technically. I'm asking from a value point of view. What does it mean for kids from the age of zero receiving this direction to connect to the perception of the world from the Book of Books, from a point of values, how they relate to life? We said in the book there's man, society, and God. There's everything. You said the book teaches how to act in the family and everywhere else. How does education, how does this education, how can it be implemented, not just to be read like this or like that, but in a social, interpersonal manner? Ideological manner. If we want to implement this book today, we have no choice but to explain to everyone about the essence of the book, that this book has come to build the nation of Israel, the Israeli society, that we need to implement this book in our new relations between us. And if in this manner we approach the people, the country, the connection between us, then this book is alive. It will live among us. And it will have value. And right now it's only worth the 10 shekels that we pay for it. It will have strength. So we have to think how we're going to relate to it as philosophy or as something that we just learn or as something that we actually implement. Why does a Kabbalist read the Book of Torah together to connect? Because he comes to connect. I don't just come to learn it, that same story, I just learned Torah. What does it mean just to learn? Learning Torah is called learning to implement it between us and the relations between us. All of Torah, why was it given? You want to be connected as one man with one heart. In our food, please, then from here on, that's where the Torah begins. Otherwise, no. There is some force of in a group getting together and in reading it alone. There's a tradition that you need a certain amount of people to read it, say a minyan, 10 people, 10 men. Is there some great importance? Yes, because it's the format, the corporal minimal format in which you can begin to connect between people and implement it. What you're reading, implement what you're reading. Throughout history, we see that it doesn't matter. No, it doesn't matter where we were in Russia or wherever. There's a process that's it's like an unnatural process. For thousands of years, there's Jewish communities all over the world, and everyone has this book that goes from generation to generation, is maintained from generation to generation, and it doesn't matter where people are. They have this common denominator. They all read the book. They all connect to the book. How do you see this, and what does it say about the importance of the book in creating this connection between these communities that were different from each other to this one thing called the nation of the book? I don't know what to say about that. I think that we, those that are in the land of Israel, we have to be as the center of all of Israel, the spiritual center. We have an opportunity to be here, to be connected to one another, to build these relations between us that the book is talking about. And then we will be the nation of the book. And these communities that are dispersed throughout the planet, throughout the world, if they can also connect and be together with us in this same trend, then they will also connect and be integrated in this term, the nation of the book. And if they won't, they won't. Because according to the Torah, whoever carries it out is called Jewish, because before that you're not called Jewish. The people are called the people of the book because it's someone who took the book and implemented it. And implemented it doesn't mean to maintain kashrut laws and mikvah, but first of all, love thy neighbor as thyself. Therefore, that's what we need to speak about. That is what we need to carry out. That's what our people need to carry out. Also for people who are not even in this thought yet of implementing it, and we see it very well when we even speak to people simply in the street about this book. We see that there's something about this book that causes them to get very excited. What is it? Why does it touch such strings in our heart, each of us? The subject is it awakens in us our inner attributes, our hidden attributes that we don't know about, we don't know a lot about, until we begin to work on the connection between us, then we understand what we're dealing with. We go into the depth of our nature, we receive the light that reforms, God is revealed to man, and then we understand what we're dealing with. We implement this story, and it goes through us like as it's being implemented. I want to feel that nation of Israel in the desert, and I feel it. So this story becomes alive for me, inside me. I don't need some screen to see Hollywood that's supplying me with some pictures, these terrible pictures that they made out of all this book of Torah, but rather only in that we ourselves are implementing it. So even if we don't understand and connect, still in some way there's some small light, even in the inanimate manner, carrying something out without moving, but still there's something that lights up, there's something that excites me, there's something that gives me a connection to the upper force, because that's what we're talking about, how the Creator becomes revealed to the creature. That's what's special about the book. Therefore, I don't really understand people that are talking about it as a holy book. What's holy about it? What's in it? About the revelation of the God to the creature? You don't have to reach that. We're only talking about history. If you think what was once for our forefathers and not for us, each day there's Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah. In every generation, a person has to see himself coming out of Egypt. And more psukim like that. The Torah is an eternal thing. It's not like it was once and today it doesn't exist. So if somebody says that they really appreciate this book, how do you appreciate it? Because it's written nicely. It's nice stories that you can read it to your kids. That in your free time you sometimes feel like taking it and reading it. It's for implementation. It's the most practical book in the world. That actually, apart from supplying himself with food, a person has to deal with it and build in accordance with that a family, kids' education, environment, a nation, a country, a world, and bring everyone to the revelation of God, like it says in the book. What does it mean, appreciating it, and what? If you don't implement what it says in it, in the Torah. When we look today at Israeli society, we do see that it's starting to awaken to something. After a few generations that we put the book aside, there's still some awakening at the moment in society, that they are trying to look at this book and give it some kind of new interpretation. They're trying to relate to it in a fresh manner. And we're almost finished our first program about this book, and I'd like you to try to give some kind of conclusion about the book. The conclusion is simple, about the influence of the book. It's simple. Don't make this book into some holy thing, dancing according to the Bible and medicine according to the Bible and all kinds of things. But rather make from this book the correct implementation. There's lots of universities in the world that are learning this book, and they've done tons of research about it in many forms, and we only need one simple thing: to implement what's written there in the relations between us, just like the Torah requires. We need, at the end of the day, to carry out love of our fellow man, and then within that we will receive revelation of the divinity, which is actually all of the Torah. What does it mean to implement love of thy fellow man and inside yourself to feel revelation of God? What is that? What's the connection? You said this is the most powerful and attractive book for man because its hero is God. But now when we're summarizing, you're saying it's not for philosophizing and doing like this or like that. It's the most practical book for implementing. And you say it very directly, to implement what it says in it, love thy other as thyself, and the network of connection of love between us and revelation of God. Love, I somehow can imagine, but what does it mean to discover God? The general force of love is called God. The general force of love between us that we will begin to implement, we will not be able to implement it without the upper force coming and permeating between us and connecting us, because we're all egoists. The moment we will want to connect between us, we won't be able to connect. We'll get into conflict between us. You don't see? I see. You see our government? You see our entire society and in every place. Even me, myself. I don't want to say about somebody else. Yes, you can see. Yes. But if we understand that there's no choice, that we have to reach the mutual connection as one man with one heart, then we're screaming, help, 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 come, do. Because then we're working in the work of God. The Creator is doing the work, not the work of man. The work of man is just to demand that it will permeate between us and connect us. What does it say? I created evil inclination and I created the Torah. And what is the Torah for? If you try to connect through the Torah, you'll see that you're not capable. And what do you have to do? You need the light that reforms. In other words, the Torah has this hidden force, the light, and when you begin to connect between you, you'll begin to demand me, and I will come, and I will be among you. This is what God is saying to us? Yes. Therefore, that's why he's the hero of the book. Through the implementation of the book, you're inviting him, you're discovering him. How? In the connection between us. There's nothing to add. You once said in one of our talks that all of nature is actually love. How is this connected to God and this network? Because God is the general force of nature, and all of nature is truly love, apart from relations between people. People are like cancer that eats. But why? Because through him wanting to correct himself, he will demand God to come. And then they're called not just the nation of the book, but each of us will be called a man of God. We'll all be in adhesion with the Creator. We'll be similar. We'll be as in the image of man. That's the final goal of the Torah. Nitza said at the beginning of the conversation, as far as I remember, that this book is greater than our nation. It's as if we have this book, which is the book, and then we have our nation. Now you're explaining that we need to implement what it says in the book. I want to ask, if we'll advance, even not the whole way that you said, and we won't be so perfect, what you described is like a perfect picture. I'm not so perfect if I look at myself. Let's say I'm slightly make an effort to implement this vision that you're describing. And all of us, all the people in Israel, will take it as a national task, a mission. How will it influence how we relate to, or how all people relate to Israel? Because this book is everywhere in the world. Can you imagine a situation where if among us we have this upper force, can you imagine how everyone will relate to us? It's written about that. And all the goyim came running. Where is to him, to the nation of the book, that God has it within them, because they want it. Why do they run? Because they want this upper force. They'll want to connect to you. Because Beiti B'Tefillah L'Kol HaAmim, to all the nations, it's written in the prophets that all the prophets will come to the days of the Messiah, that Mashiach means pulling all of humanity from the bad that they're in, from the swamp of badness, and raise them up and connect them to us. So what's the force that will grab us out of the swamp? It's the God among us, the God inside of us. That's what will raise them up. And then everyone, all the nations of the world, will grab onto you and will want to be connected to you, and they'll take the people of Israel on their shoulders to the temple, to that same place, to that upper force that's among them, which is called the temple. It's where you hold the correct connection and mutual love that you built through its, with its help. That's what we need to do. This is our time. And the nations of the world will pressurize us and obligate us. And it would be good if we would hurry up. Our time is up without us paying attention. What's your last sentence? The Book of Books, to implement it so that it will live among us.
Amen.
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 Amen, amen. Thank you, Rav Leiman. Thank you, Nitzan Mazuz. Thank you for being with us. Until next time, just love. All the best.